membership and plans to hijack a plane. However, evidence surfaced that the FBI failed to act when agents suspected Massawi was up to no good. And in fact, his first defense witness this morning said the government had plenty of chances to catch two of the other actual hijackers before the attacks. I'm Mark Shearer, and you're listening to Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blocker Sunglasses at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Available at all Rite Aids and many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74. This is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residence. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-349-2532 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation, convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-349-2532 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 4/29/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-349-2532. That's 1-800-349-2532.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 6 minutes past the hour. Our quote for the day: whenever a man has cast a longing eye on offices, a rottenness begins in his conduct. Thomas Jefferson. Happy Monday to you, the 27th of March. Coming up on today's program, should we continue to dilute the American workforce and drive down the cost of labor with a temporary worker program? In our second hour, Marcy Winograd, California's 36th congressional candidate, will be here. Doug Cunningham in our third hour, Labor News, and Vanessa Cirelli of CommonDreams.org will join us. Right now, Daniel Griswold is with us. He's the Cato Institute's Director of Trade Policy Studies, the website Cato, C-A-T-O, Cato.org. Daniel, welcome to the program. Hey, Daniel?
Yes.
Hey.
I'm here.
Welcome. Should we continue to dilute the American workforce and drive down the cost of labor with a temporary worker program?
Well, if you word it that way, how can I answer otherwise? But, of course, no, but that's not what we're doing. You know, our country has accepted, since 1820, we've accepted 70 million immigrants. And what they have done is not driven down wages for American workers overall, but they've actually lifted wages. They've made us a more dynamic, productive economy. Immigrants tend to do the jobs that Americans don't want to do in sufficient numbers or can't do on the higher end, but we're really talking about lower skilled workers today. And Tom, most Americans don't want to do these jobs, and they don't want to do them in sufficient numbers. Immigrants enable large sectors of the U.S. economy to be competitive, to meet demands of consumers. There's no evidence that they drive down wages. There's no evidence that they take jobs. We're at full employment, 4.7%. We created over 2.2 million jobs. Immigrants are just allowing our workforce to grow at its traditional rate of about 1%. That makes us a more dynamic, competitive economy in the global marketplace.
Nonsense.
Well, you can
other words come to mind, but come on, David. Yeah. First of all, are you trying to suggest to me that the teeming slums of the cities along the East Coast in the late 1800s and early 1900s that were the consequence of large numbers of immigrants coming in and providing incredibly cheap labor to our factories were not driving down the cost of labor?
They were not driving down the cost of American labor overall. They were in sectors where they competed directly, but they were providing needed workers when our country was industrializing.
Needed workers that turned the industrialists of that day into hyper millionaires and billionaires as a result of the very, very low cost of their labor.
You're taking a kind of class warfare approach that I just don't accept.
But it is class warfare. It's class warfare that's been conducted against the middle class by the ownership class in this country essentially since its founding. I mean, we used to have cheap labor. We called it slavery.
That's not the American tradition. Your show started talking about the American tradition. You look at immigrants today and yesterday. They embodied faith, family.
We're talking legal immigrants or illegal immigrants?
I'm for legal immigration. I am not going to excuse illegal immigration, but I think the right approach is to create a system where these workers can come in legally.
Daniel Griswold, Cato Institute's Director of Trade Policy Studies. If you're not going to excuse illegal immigration, and yet you think that we should go back to the 19th century policies of simply accepting anybody who comes into our shores, then why have illegal immigration? Why define certain types of immigration as legal and certain types as illegal? I mean, historically, the United States, the reason why we started having immigration laws after the turn of the 19th century was specifically as a result of the populist and uprisings to restrict and diminish the supply of labor to drive the cost of labor up, which then led to a middle class.
It was followed not long after that by the Great Depression. Those were some pretty hard years, and I don't think we have a middle class today because we've restricted immigration.
I would argue that the Republican Great Depression was a direct consequence of six major tax cuts on the very wealthy by Herbert Hoover and the conservative trade policies and economic policies that preceded in the preceding three Republican administrations.
Well, we could have a lot to talk about. Actually, Herbert Hoover raised taxes. He raised tariffs.
Ultimately.
Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act.
That was in 1930. That was the year after
the Federal Reserve screwed up monetary policy. So it was a 1-2-3 punch to the U.S. economy. But let's get back to immigration. The U.S.
You're saying David Griswold, that there are jobs that American workers won't do. I picked apples. You know, a dear friend of mine who just died, Dennis Weaver, the actor, when he was a kid, he and his family, his mother, his uncles, they all came out here, out to Oregon, and picked apples and worked their way down the coast picking apples. I mean, remember The Honeymooners, the old TV show with Jackie Gleason and the Ed Norton character? He worked in the sewers. There's no job that Americans won't do for a decent wage, David. What you're saying is that you want to keep a situation
legislation in place where employers can keep wages so low that there are jobs that Americans are unwilling to do for those wages and thereby use that as an excuse to bring in cheap labor.
No, not at all. U.S. companies want to hire legal workers. They want to pay workers a fair market wage. But we're a different country than we were 40 years ago.
But a market wage is a function of the size of the market. You say a fair market wage, but that's you've got two completely different things here. A market wage, if you increase, we have right now, Dan, we have 4.8 million. This is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. 9 million unemployed workers. This was the month of May of last year, okay, the last number that we've got solid stats for. The 9 million unemployed. 4.8 million working part-time because they can't find full-time work, and 1.4 million that the federal government classifies as discouraged workers. You add that up, and you get 9 plus 4.8 is what? 13.8 plus 1.4, 14.8, 15.2 million workers. There's somewhere between 11 and 20 million illegal workers. If those illegal workers in the United States vanished, then suddenly we'd have no unemployed. But your corporations might have to pay a decent wage.
Your figures are out of date, and you're assuming that workers are all interchangeable. But we're at 4.7% unemployment. Basically, if an American wants a job today, they can find them. But look, we're a different country than we
were. If they want to work at Kmart.
Here's a figure that will knock your socks off. 40 years ago, half of the Americans in the adult Americans in the workforce did not have a high school degree. Maybe Ralph Cramden didn't have a high school degree, for all I know. But today that number is 10% and dropping. Meanwhile, our economy continues to create job opportunities for low-skilled workers. There are just not enough Americans.
And meanwhile, seven years ago, Marriott was doing an advertising campaign bragging about the fact that a third of their bellboys have college degrees.
That's not true anymore, I don't think, if you checked it. But maybe it is, but a lot of people can't afford to stay at a Marriott. They're like me. They stay at a Motel 6.
I'll bet you there's people with college degrees working in Motel 6s as well. I can tell you in this radio station there's a whole lot of interns who are working for either free or minimum wage who have college degrees.
Yeah, it's a different kind of work. But basically, our country needs these workers, and they create opportunities for middle-class workers. If we can have a vibrant tourism industry, construction industry, retail industry, this creates job opportunities for middle-class workers.
Dan Griswold with Cato Institute, cato.org. Let's take construction, for example. When I was growing up, when I was a teenager and when I was in college, a friend of mine who didn't go to college, graduated from high school, got a job as a journeyman, I forget the exact word, carpenter. He was a carpenter. And he got a good union job, and this was in Lansing, Michigan. And he got married, he had kids, he was able to put his kids through school, he could raise a family, it was a decent living. And Reagan came along in 1980 and following the economic philosophies that you guys at Cato Institute espouse, started busting unions, declared war on the middle class with PATCO, and we've now you can't make a living, you can't raise a family as a carpenter any longer.
PATCO was an illegal strike, but look, We're a different country than we were back then. We have a growing middle
because
class
of
today.
These policies.
Actually, people are moving up. You know, we have had 20 very good years, 20 or 25 very good years for the U.S. economy. Incomes are up. Wealth is up. The net wealth of American households passed $50
The income of if Bill Gates walks into the bar, the average income of everybody in the bar is multimillionaire.
If you look at the
inflation adjusted wages of people of workers who work on an hourly wage or on a regular paycheck, it has declined.
Those are outdated figures, and people don't just get paid wages; they also get paid benefits. The average after-tax income of American households is up significantly, and the median income is up significantly.
And so are expenses. It costs twice as much for a gallon of gas. It costs, health care is going up 14-15% a year.
The
middle class is getting wiped out, Dan.
You can't blame immigrants for that. We've got problems in this country. I'm just saying scapegoating immigrants is not the way to solve our problems. Immigrants are helping us build a stronger country today.
So what's your solution, Dan?
My solution is to adopt a guest worker program where peaceful, hardworking people can come into this country legally instead of illegally.
In unlimited numbers.
Well, I think the market sets that. People don't come here.
So the corporations determine the numbers.
People don't come here if there's not a job. Secondly, I would legalize the 12 million here. It's not an amnesty. I'm not saying give them a green card. You legalize them. You make them stand in line with everybody if they want permanent status. You make them pay a fine. But I think we're just deluding ourselves that we can deport 12 million people overnight. It would be
I don't think we could, but I think that if we put employers in jail who hire them, that they would leave voluntarily.
I don't think so. I think you just drive them further underground and create more of the problems we have today.
Dan Griswold, Cato.org and FreeTrade.org. Thanks, Dan.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
In the desert, even in the starkest environment, you sometimes come across a flower. And what a joy it is to behold, all the more appreciated because it stands alone. That's how I felt when I saw Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin proudly standing against George W. Bush's secret, illegal, and unconstitutional program of spying on the American people. In the politically desolate environment of the U.S. Senate, where members blend together in shades of lifeless brown and bend so easily to the autocratic winds of the Bush-Cheney imperial presidency, it is a delight to see a flower of integrity. When he introduced his resolution to censure Bush, Feingold dared to speak the simple and honest truth. The president has violated the law. Congress must respond. He noted that, quote, the founders anticipated abuses of executive power by creating a balance of powers in the Constitution. We must meet a serious transgression by the president with a serious response. The American people look to us to take action. In our system of government, no one, not even the president, is above the law. Feingold was standing for the rule of law. Yet only two other Democrats have stood with him. The rest ran for the bushes. Republican senators were worse, fulminating against Feingold for actually trying to be what senators are supposed to be, a check and balance. Republican leader Bill Frist was especially despicable, charging that Feingold was giving comfort to terrorists by suggesting, quote, that there is in any way a lack of support for our commander-in-chief who is leading us with a bold vision. Apparently, Frist is so blinded by the glare of executive power that he doesn't know that more than two-thirds of Americans and 72% of the troops in Iraq do not support Bush's bold vision. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's show a little support for the flower of the Senate. Say thanks to Russ Feingold by calling 202-224-5323.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a feature. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartmann.
Again, I don't know where he is. I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Have you forgotten?
There's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
Have you forgotten?
We'll smoke him out of his cave. And we'll get him eventually.
Have you forgotten?
Capture Bin Laden, kill him, and bring his head back in a box on dry ice.
Have you forgotten?
Basically, the president botched the response to 9/11. Should have gone right after Bin Laden.
Have you forgotten?
We should have focused on finding Bin Laden and demolishing Al-Qaeda.
Have you forgotten?
Before going down and starting the war in Iraq.
Have you forgotten?
Why did we put all our military resources into Iraq,
not
which was our number five security?
21 minutes past the hour. Our question, should we continue to dilute the American workforce and drive down the cost of labor with a temporary worker program? The House of Representatives has passed a bill criminalizing, essentially, being in this country illegally. They also, however, attached to that a provision that would make it a crime to assist anybody who is in this country illegally. And this is an area where I find myself actually in agreement with Hillary Clinton. I think that any kind of legislation that, here's a tough one. If somebody goes on a killing spree and shoots up a local store or robs a bank and they come by your house and you say, come on in, I'll hide you, you have committed a crime. They're a criminal. And if you help a criminal, you committed a crime. On the other hand, so if you're going to make being an illegal alien in the United States something more than a parking ticket, which is what it is right now, if you're going to make it an actual crime, then assisting somebody in the commission of a crime is a crime. So there is that. And you have to acknowledge that. That's real. At the same time, there are people of good conscience who are looking at this situation and saying, you know, it's not just workers coming over here. There are entire families. There are kids. There are people who are the spouses of workers. There are workers who come here and get injured, who they're working in workplaces and in environments where the employers are, not only do they not give a damn about paying decent wages, but they don't care about environmental protections. They cover them with pesticides. They're exposed to chemicals that they shouldn't be exposed to. They're in unsafe workplace conditions. They get injured. They get wounded. You know, should it be a crime to help people who are here illegally? And in that regard, I have to say, and I realize it sounds like a contradiction, but in that regard, I agree with Hillary Clinton that it shouldn't be a crime to help somebody who is here illegally, to provide them with food or shelter or something like that. I think, though, that, you know, I put that into the category of the parking ticket, because once again, I don't think the solution to this problem is a criminal solution, just like I don't think the solution to our drug abuse problem is a police solution. I don't think it's the most competent solution. Our drug abuse problem is a medical problem, and our immigrant problem is an economic problem, and the solution to it is economics. You simply make it illegal for employers to hire these people. Just say, sorry, you can't do it. If you want to hire one of these, you want to hire somebody who's illegal, you go to jail. So Hillary says, no, wait a minute. If you're going to criminalize people who help them, you know, you would criminalize Jesus and the Good Samaritan. And I think she was right. Tom Tancredo disagreed.
I'm not really surprised that Hillary Clinton doesn't know the first thing about the Bible. Her impression, her analysis, her interpretation.
Now, keep in mind, this is a Republican making fun of Hillary.
Of both the law and the Bible are certainly wrong, to say the least. This has nothing to do, the bill we passed out of the House has nothing to do with criminalizing Good Samaritans, nor anyone.
Except the fact of the matter is it does. And I understand that that's a problem. Now, over the weekend, we saw this huge march. Millions of people across the United States, or potentially, possibly as many as a million people across the United States, hundreds of thousands in various cities, marching for what? By and large, it seems that what they're marching for is the right for illegal immigrants to stay in the United States. If you extend that logic out, you end up with an unlimited workforce, and an unlimited workforce gives you an unlimited fall in wages. This is one of the reasons why the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, is $5.15, and they're able to keep it there. Because as long as there are illegals who are willing to work for $5, $6 an hour, or $3 or $4 an hour even off the books, because the alternative in their country is to work for $1 or $2 an hour, you're going to be driving down wages in the United States. And you are also supporting the autocratic, dysfunctional governments of many of the South American countries from which these people are coming. And, well, obviously not just South American countries. I mean, Europe is dealing with the same problem with the immigrants coming from dysfunctional countries in Africa and dysfunctional, formerly dysfunctional and currently dysfunctional in many cases, countries of Eastern Asia. So, or of Eastern Europe, rather, excuse me. And so, you know, it's not about the color of the skin. It's not about the nationality. It's about should we have an an immigration policy in the United States that helps Mexico smooth over the problems of a corrupt Vicente Fox and a corrupt oligarchy of 36 families that basically rule and own Mexico, or not? And I say not. I say, you know, let them fix their own country. And not obviously not just Mexico, but all of South America. I think every country should have immigration policies that have to do with controlling the amount of labor in the country so that a middle class can emerge. That's what we've done in the United States. And take your thoughts on that. Feel free to argue with me. In fact, if you want to argue with me, I'll put you at the front of the line. 27 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
In today's busy world, many of us are feeling overwhelmed and stressed. This can lead to sleepless nights, as well as damage to your physical and mental health. Here are some helpful hints to manage your stress. One of the most important is learning to delegate. Ask for help. Studies show that people with a strong support system cope better with stress. So take the time to build close relationships. It's a great investment in your health and happiness. And carve out time to enjoy yourself. Taking the time to chill out will make you more effective in everything you do. Keep listening for other stress-reducing tips brought to you by Tylenol PM.
Hank Montenegro of Morganville, New Jersey wrote, "Dear Mr. Oric, ever since we purchased your 8-pound Oric XL vacuum, my wife has been in heaven. Recently, she panicked, believing she'd broken the vacuum. I contacted your customer service department, and after a few questions, I was sent a replacement part at no charge. The machine is as good as new. Try my 8-pound Oric XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Newspaper Guild says it hasn't received the financial information it needs in an attempt to bid on 12 Knight Ridder newspapers being sold off by McClatchy, the company that acquired 32 daily newspapers for $4.5 billion. The Guild says competitors who originally bid on all 32 papers have information that parties interested in just the 12 papers have not yet received. Eight of the papers being bid on are represented by the Guild.
Students at hundreds of universities are kicking off a National Student Labor Week of Action in solidarity with workers. Eddie Morales is president of the U.S. Student Association.
We're going to be showing films, hosting rally, and actions targeting administrators. Students hope to help workers win concrete victories in their efforts to secure fair wages, benefits, and to form and join unions.
More and more, Morales says, corporations and corporate money are dominating universities. Students, Morales says, are awakening now to the struggles of workers and the need to join those struggles.
Students have started to realize that the standards that they set of living for workers on their campuses directly affects their ability to get the most out of their college experience, and then let alone support an individual's wants for dignity and, you know, the ability to work in a climate that values their presence. And I think that is a philosophical argument that most students get behind.
The National Student Labor Week of Action is co-sponsored by Jobs with Justice, the U.S. Student Association, and a national network of community labor coalitions.
The Canadian auto workers' leadership is pushing to pull the union support from that country's new Democratic Party. The CAW is Canada's largest private sector union, and the leadership is seeking to reaffirm a position of independent politics with no ties to one party. Part of the decision comes from the Ontario NDP kicking CAW President Buzz Hargrove out of the party because he advocated strategic voting. For example, in situations where it seemed the NDP had little chance of winning during January's election, he suggested support should be put behind Liberal candidates. Hargrove, who has been a member of the NDP for more than 40 years, says it's time for Canadian labor to hold all government accountable, no matter which party is in power.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Just take what you need. Don't empty out this month.
And welcome back, my friends. Our question for the hour, should we continue to dilute the American workforce and drive down the cost of labor with a temporary worker program? And it's just so important. Whenever anybody talks about temporary worker programs, guest worker programs, blah, 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 it's all about driving down the cost of labor by diluting the workforce, period. By the way, we now give you a new way to sound off on the issue or topic of the day. Those folks who don't want to just go on the air live, we have a comment line. Pick up the phone and call 503-323-6620. Give us your take in 30 seconds or less because we want to hear from you. 503-323-6620. Remember, your thoughts and opinions may just make it on the air, so make it count. 503-323-6620. Hey, another public service from the Tom Hartman radio program and the station you are listening to us on. Time now for, by the way, welcome back, 35 minutes past the hour, past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Time for a Catherine Harris alert.
Well, if we make this coat, it would be as if I were wearing your dog.
So Representative Catherine Harris lost two more staff members this week, one from her campaign office and one from her congressional office. Lee Pitts, the deputy finance director of operations for Harris's campaign, says, it's time for me to move on. Pitts is the fourth member of Harris's financial team to leave the staff in the past 3 months. Departure, this by Jeremy Walls in the Sarasota Herald Time. Departures come as Harris tries to rejuvenate her U.S. Senate campaign, which has suffered from slow fundraising, bad poll numbers, and controversy over illegal campaign contributions. We'll see how Cruella works out. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number, toll-free across the United... You know, I shouldn't call her Cruella. It's a cheap shot to make fun of somebody based on how they look. I really intended it more based on how she acts. And in that regard, she really... stealing the election, bragging about... in any case. And our chat room, you can drop into our live chat room by going to tomhartmann.com and just click live chat, drop in, and say hi. 1-866-440-8466. John in Goshen, New York. Hey, John. Hang on just a second. I got to. Alex, can you punch John up while I give myself the ability to put people on the line here? He's on line 4. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, Tom. You're really spot on today. I was just calling because we need to dispel the notion that illegal workers only do the work that Americans don't want to do. I'm in the construction business, and these guys are masons, framers, roofers, sheetrockers, tile workers, it goes on and on. They're painters, they're trimmers. And when you glut the market with people who are here illegally, it drives my asking price down.
Yeah, and when I was
taxes, workers' comp, liability, these guys who hire these guys don't pay that.
That's right.
And I'm screwed. When it comes time to asking what is a decent living wage, people look at me like I'm crazy. I can get this other guy to do it for half.
And I remember in the late 60s, early 70s, when I was going to college, I had friends who would work their way through school in the summer doing construction work, but it was by and large the grunt work, and it was among a unionized labor force. And after we got out of school, when I was working in radio in the 70s, our next-door neighbor, the guy who had the apartment next door to us, his name was John, he was a carpenter. And as a carpenter, I mean, you know, with a capital C carpenter. I mean, you know, he was like a union carpenter.
Right.
And as a carpenter, this guy made enough money to have a home, to have a car. He got married. He had a kid. He was, he had a good future. And that just ain't the case anymore. And it's got nothing to do with, Americans won't do this work. It's got to do with diluting the workforce.
Exactly. And that's why it's so funny how the Republicans, these people who believe in a system of laws, are so willing to turn their head and say, well, we need to cut these guys. It's all about big business. It's all about driving this wage down. They don't want to pay. And the fact is, I have a college education, but I decided to stay. I always did carpentry in the summers, but I stayed with it, and I've built myself a nice little business. I intend to send my kid off to college someday, but I can't keep doing it if I got to keep cutting. If all I'm doing is working to pay my bills.
Because
I have to compete against these guys, it's going to ruin everything. And believe me, these are the hardest working people you'll ever want to meet. I have no problem with someone coming in the front door. None at all.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. And I have no problem with us helping Mexico or El Salvador or any other South American country. In the case here in the United States of South America, Europeans saying the same thing about their neighboring countries. Have no problem with helping them get their act together so that they can build a middle class in their country and their workers can have rights.
But we are to stay home.
That's right. But right now, the second largest source of revenue for the entire country of Mexico behind oil, because they're one of the five largest exporters of oil in the world, the second largest source of revenue for that country is wages sent home by illegals working in the United States. 10% of their labor force is in the United States. There's something wrong with that. John, thanks a lot for the call. I got to move along here. Mike in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Good morning. First of all, I love your show. Unfortunately, we can only hear you here on Sirius for an hour a day.
Actually, all 3 hours are on Sirius. They just delay the second and third hour a few hours back.
Right.
Keep listening. You'll catch up with it.
First of all, the guy that you had on, that you were arguing with this morning, I don't know if he lives in a hermetically sealed box in Wyoming somewhere.
No, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C.
Okay.
It is a hermetically sealed box. No, it was the Cato Institute. I mean, these are the guys who are advising the Republicans on economic policy.
Right, exactly. And I guess what I want to say is I want to say no to your question. We need to stop diluting the workforce like you're talking about. And it's not just the workforce. It's not just the wages that are becoming a problem. That is a great problem, but there's other also problems like healthcare. One of the reasons our healthcare is skyrocketing is because these illegals can go into the emergency room, get their medical needs attended to, and then not have to pay the bill.
Right, and then not paying into Medicare, which is by and large. Good point, Mike. John in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, John.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually one of the college-educated people you refer to who's currently only working part-time and occasionally doing some freelance assignments.
There's a lot of folks like that out there in the workforce. It's mind-boggling, the number of them.
The gentleman from the Cato Institute, was it?
Yeah.
Very, very typical right-wing spokesman, economic spokesman, spoken a lot of generalities, using misleading statistics and engaging obfuscation. For example, his claim about benefits, that one should take benefits into account as well, and the value of benefits has increased. That's certainly true, but it's not because the benefits being granted by employers have become more generous. It's only, in fact, of course, as I think everyone in the job market out there realizes, benefits have become less generous.
No, it's because we have a dysfunctional privatized healthcare system quilt of for-profit corporations sucking the blood out of us.
Right. The reason the value has increased is because even as employers have cut back on healthcare benefits, their costs have escalated so rapidly.
Because the profits in the industry are going up. Bill Frist's father, who founded HCA, Healthcare of America, Healthcare Corporation of America, is one of the 100 wealthiest men in America. He's worth $2.5 billion. He made all that, or most of that, by taking formerly public hospitals, county hospitals, taking them private, and then squeezing the blood out of them and you and me.
And his claim, I knew he was basically going to simply mouth misleading platitudes when he touted the 2.2 million new jobs created during the Bush administration's tenure. When you realize that...
Well, Walmart has hired a few people. They've been opening some new stores.
Well, I mean, when you realize that we need about 140,000 jobs on average created
per
every month just to keep pace with the growing net influx of new workers into the economy.
Right, and that's just from births.
It's pitiful.
Right, and that's
terrible
just
job creation rate.
That you're absolutely right. And that, by the way, is just from births. That's the number of people who are coming into the workforce every month that we have to account for. That doesn't include illegals, and that's what's driving the thing down.
If I can, I'll give you one example from my past. I mean, about 12 years ago, I was trying to finish college part-time, and I needed to save up some money, and I had a job during the day flipping hamburgers and at night as a night watchman, and it both paid about minimum wage, and there was a job opening at like a greengrocer's in the nearby neighborhood, and I found out the nature of the work. I mean, you had to get up really early, sort of almost in the middle of the night, and work till mid-afternoon, and it was tough physical work, and it wasn't skilled, but I figured that it would have to pay. Minimum wage back then was like about $4.35 an hour, $4.50 an hour. And I figured, well, it's probably going to pay, at least $8 or so an hour. And it might give me a chance to save some money. And when I interviewed, and I for the job, and they actually gave me an interview, and they told me the wage was $5 an hour. And, I mean, of course I didn't accept the job. I would have had to be... It's been a mental case.
Right. And on the other hand, I can tell you that back in the 60s and 70s, I and most of my friends worked our way through college. My wife worked her way through college working as a waitress in a Howard Johnson's.
You could
actually do it back then. You can't do it anymore.
This idea that, they're doing the fulfilling the jobs Americans won't take. Well, of course, I wouldn't take that job at that wage. But if they paid $3-4 above minimum wage, then, I would have taken the job.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely spot on.
They're just cheap labor conservatives.
Yeah, there you go. Well said. John, thanks a lot for the call. We'll continue with your phone calls after this. To what extent should we dilute the American workforce with illegal immigrants and drive down the cost of labor with a temporary worker program? I say zero. And here today, Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, he says it's unrealistic to deport 11 million people. He's right. It is unrealistic. But if you stop paying them, they'll leave. 45 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
French authorities are hunting down pirate fishing boats from space. I'm Richard Hooks for Earthwatch Radio. French authorities are cracking down on illegal fishing by tracking down pirate fishing boats from space. They use satellites to spot the pirate vessels, and then they send patrol boats to intercept the illegal operations and enforce the law. The French authorities started the program 2 years ago to deal with operations that illegally took Patagonian toothfish from waters around a French territory in the southern Indian Ocean. The toothfish yields a big profit on the black market, and it's being depleted by illegal operations. French fishing boats were licensed to take 6,000 or 7,000 tons of toothfish from the territorial waters every year. According to some estimates, illegal fishing took 6 times more than that. The French government worked with a satellite company known as CLS. Antoine Monsignon works with CLS. He says land-based radar was not sufficient for law enforcement around the remote Kerguelen Islands.
You need a radar that can see, first of all, that can see at night, also through the clouds, and on a long range. And only satellite can do that.
Monsignon says the company relied on 2 different satellites. One was used by Canada to track icebergs. The other was used by the European Space Agency to monitor oil spills.
It very often happens that when you launch a satellite, you launch it for one given purpose, and then you discover later that it can be used for something else.
In this case, the strategy paid off immediately. In July of 2004, the satellites detected a vessel that was in French waters illegally. The Navy sent a patrol boat to track it down and fire a warning shot across its bow. The approach worked. Last year, the French government reported that the surveillance system has cut illegal fishing by 90%. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I got friends with low wages. Now one thing I've learned, when Americans get burned, they won't just sit and complain. They know their rights, stand up and fight for jobs that are fair and humane. When those Walmart guys hear the word unionize, they go completely insane. They'll find out who, and boy, if it's you, you're his follower of the faith. Yeah, I got friends with low wages. They work for Walmart in outrageously bad conditions.
because the union's missing.
There you go. Welcome back, my friends. 9 minutes before the hour. It's Tom Hartman here with you. CBS asks Governor Richards. This is the Democrats don't get this. The progressive movement since the late 1800s has been based on limiting the supply of labor. That's what unions are all about. It's what strikes are all about. It's what the child labor laws was all about. It's what the maximum hour laws were all about. It's what the two-day weekend was all about. If you limit the supply of labor, then you drive up the cost of labor, and guess what? You create a middle class. CBS, Governor Richardson. This is the Democratic governor of New Mexico, Governor Richardson. What happens to all those businesses? And there are many businesses, big and small, across the country whose lifeblood is cheap labor. What happens to these businesses when they don't have anybody to work there anymore? Richardson. Now, Richardson could have said, well, I guess they'll have to start paying a decent wage. And maybe we'll see America start spiraling up instead of spiraling down. Maybe we'll see a middle class come back. But instead, Richardson said, well, a lot of them are going to fall apart, whether it's agriculture, whether it's service industry. A lot of these undocumented workers are paying taxes. They have families and pay taxes. What Ms. Buchanan, he's referring to Babe Buchanan, who just said deport them all, which is equally nuts. He said what Ms. Buchanan is suggesting is unrealistic. You're going to make 11 million undocumented workers felons along with their families. It's unrealistic to deport them. What, you're going to go into their homes, knock on their doors, find 11 million people? The cost is going to be prohibitive. So you have to do what's realistic. Yes, if you stop paying them, you don't have to deport them. In fact, you'd have to show up with guns to keep them here if there's no job. People don't want to stick around where there's no job. Come on, my friends. This is not rocket science. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Gary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey,
good
Gary.
Good morning. It still should be Senator Hartman.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I'll get off. I got to move on quickly on that one. I know I do.
Well, you know, I do talk radio pretty good. I do politics pretty badly. It's very simple. We all know what we do well and what we don't do well.
Well, I kind of agree. Probably you're needed more here.
Yeah, thank you. Your comment.
A couple things. It just brings me to mind what you're talking about. Two classic examples, if I may, just a humble opinion, if you will.
If they're brief,
I got
10 calls on hold, and I got 8 minutes.
How cheap, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, how cheap the Republican Party and philosophy are when it comes to the minimum wage. They believe in a minimum wage, the lower the better.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the absolute bottom line, Gary, and that's all you're going to get out of them is in fact, they don't even believe in a minimum wage. Alan Greenspan, before Congress, when he was questioned by Bernie Sanders, said he didn't think that there should be a minimum wage. Kevin in Deltona, Florida. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Tom, it's Kevin. What people fail to realize is that there is a commonality between the immigration issue and the terror issue and the drug trafficking issue. You cannot use brute strength to resolve bread and butter issues.
You're absolutely right. Economic problems require economic solutions, just like with the drug problem. Medical problems require medical solutions. And these guys, these conservatives, for the last 30 years, their answer to everything has been a cop, a gun, or an army. And, you know, yes, we need cops, yes, we need guns, and yes, we need armies, but not to solve every problem of society. Phil in Olympia, Washington. Hey, Phil.
Oh, hi, Tom. I'll be very quick. You know, I'm a progressive, and I'm a compassionate person, and I'm pro-labor, and I completely agree with everything you're saying, every point. I would add this. The real solution in the future is a global minimum wage, but that's a utopian dream that probably will not happen
in our
lifetime. Well,
here's the problem, Phil. First of all, if every person in America were to live at a consumption level equal to that of an Appalachian family of four at the poverty level in the United States, around $14,000 a year, it would require four planet Earths to provide the raw materials.
Yeah,
we have 6 billion people on planet Earth. 3 billion of them are living on less than $2 a day. Almost 5 billion of them are, you know, in aggregate are living on less than $10 a day. And it's just, you know, it's not possible. We have to deal with the population problem in this world first. And in order to do that, you know, we've got to deal with the political problems and the religious problems that are driving the insane population problems. So, you know, you're suddenly shooting us out into the really big picture stuff. And I salute you for it. But those, you know, what you're going to hear from the Paul Wolfowitzes of the world and the Cato Institutes of the world is, oh, well, we, you know, and it's going to tug on the heartstrings of people like you and me. We just need to have fair labor policies where everybody makes a good minimum wage. And it sounds nice. But, the problems are so much bigger than that. It's a great ideal. Tom in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom, we got about a minute left. What's up?
The guy from the Cato Institute, again, getting back to him. I mean, how disingenuous can you be? Think about benefits.
packages in 1970, for goodness sake. How much of a deduction did you see in your paycheck back then for benefits? Whereas now the American worker is shouldering at least half, if not most of that.
Not to mention co-payments and deductibles and...
Right.
You know,
and then the bill of goods the Republicans have sold this country that a lot of people have swallowed is you're making less money because of government taxes. And the fact of the matter is we're making less money because government has enabled corporations to ship labor, ship jobs overseas and import cheap labor from abroad at the same time. And there's no other difference between the two. Think of the paradigm shift between Ike's speech, military-industrial complex. He talked about a hospital as a community resource in that speech. Today it's a profit center.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Tom. Good point. By the way, your phone is really cracking up bad. In the next hour, Marcy Winograd is going to be with us, the congressional candidate. California's 36th district. Should be an interesting conversation. And, of course, we'll be taking your phone calls. We'll have somebody from the Talk Radio News Service here with us as the show continues. 57 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own. And thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
President Bush is renewing his call for a so-called guest worker program as part of any overhaul of the nation's immigration laws. The president today says a guest worker program will help meet the demands of a growing economy while allowing honest workers to help their family and not break the law.
This program would provide a legal way to match willing foreign workers with willing American employers to fill the jobs that Americans are unwilling to do.
Bush's comments came as the Senate prepared to debate what to do with the nation's estimated 11 million illegal immigrants. And as discussion began today in the Senate Judiciary Committee, members were seen to be breaking with the House's approach to dealing with illegal immigrants. The committee is refusing to make criminals out of humanitarian groups or individuals who give anything more than emergency aid to immigrants. Against the advice of his own lawyers, al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui took the stand in his death penalty today, the death penalty trial today, and what he said shocked attendees. Zacharias Moussaoui testified today that he and the would-be shoe bomber Richard Reed were supposed to hijack a fifth airplane on September 11, 2001, and fly it into the White House. Massawi's testimony on his own behalf stunned the courtroom as he disclosed details he had never revealed before. It was in contrast to Massawi's previous statements in which he said the White House attack was to come later if the United States refused to release a radical Egyptian sheikh imprisoned on earlier terrorist convictions. Richard Reid, of course, was subdued by passengers in December of 2001 when he attempted to detonate a bomb in his shoe on board an American Airlines flight from Paris to Miami. And in Iraq today, a suicide bombing killed dozens outside an army recruiting center in northern Iraq. Iraqi officials told the Associated Press 40 people died in that attack. U.S. officials counted 30 dead. The center was in front of a joint U.S.-Iraqi military base about 18 miles east of Tal Afar, the ancient city that President Bush last week cited as a success story in the fight against insurgents. Meanwhile, at least 21 more corpses have been found in Baghdad and the surrounding area. Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Hello, and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man. I think termites are destroying my kid's wood swing set.
Oh, that's not good. What makes you think it's termites?
I don't know. The swings are lower.
But are you sure your kids aren't just taller?
Even the baby's got skin knees.
Oh.
No, my house could be next.
Could be. Those little foragers can travel over 100 feet.
Duh, it's only 30 to the house.
Don't worry. One of our experts can treat these and help prevent more in the future.
Thanks, Orkin Guy.
Man.
Hi, man.
For a free inspection, just call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
This is Vilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
He's the man who
uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Going on. This is this month, our third year on the air, starting our fourth year on this program. Marcy Winograd is running for Congress in California's 36th congressional district. Her website, Winograd4Congress.com. Winograd, Marcy Winograd, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Glad to have you here, Marcy. Marcy, you're running in the Democratic primary against Congresswoman Jane Harman, if I'm not in mistake. Is that
correct, yes. Jane Harman, a five-term incumbent who is very pro-war, pro-Patriot Act, has voted three times for the Patriot Act, sat on the House Intelligence Committee in the run-up to the war, did not object, even though she saw evidence or should have seen evidence in the National Intelligence Estimate documenting intelligence analysts' objections to the war, saying that these stories of weapons of mass destruction were highly dubious.
Are you the only candidate who is running in this primary against Jane Harman?
I am the only Democrat running in the Democratic primary against the incumbent. That's right.
That's interesting. And your district, the 36th district, this includes Los Angeles
and
the various beaches there around?
Exactly. It runs from the Port of Los Angeles, San Pedro. It's a 30-mile area on up through Wilmington, West Carson, Torrance, and then into the beach cities and the Marina del Rey, Venice, Mar Vista, and parts of West L.A. So it's a diverse area, and, a lot of people are concerned, of course, like all Americans, about the war, about our $100,000 a minute that we're spending on the war, about how we're inching towards $300 billion, and who knows where it will end. Bush has declared that this is an eternal occupation. And what I'm saying is that we need to get out of Iraq and give the Iraqis an opportunity to govern themselves. As long as we are there, we will ensure violence.
We're talking with Marcy Winograd. She's taking on Jane Harman in the Democratic primary for California's 36th District. Winograd, W-I-N-O-G-R-A-D, 4FORCongress.com, her website. Marcy, it seems to me that taking on a five-term incumbent member of Congress, even if you're the opponent in an opposite party. I mean, even if Jane Harman was the Republican and this was the general election, incumbency has considerable perks, particularly in a district like the 36th, where you've got a lot of defense contractors, a lot of defense business, a lot of bucks being passed out and passed around. How are you going to do this?
It's a great question. We're going to do it with people power. This is a grassroots movement to elect a peace candidate, somebody who believes and embraces the rule of law, not the rule of Bush, not the rule of bombs. This is a grassroots movement. We are going to do it by getting to the people. We have attracted enormous numbers of volunteers. We are out in the streets. We started our precinct walking in Venice and in San Pedro on both ends of the district just last weekend. People are excited, Tom, about this campaign because, you know what? For too long, they have had no choice. It is time for the leadership of the Democratic Party to listen to the base and to listen to the majority of Americans who say, out of Iraq, what are we doing? This is only resulting in massacres, Abu Ghraib. The people don't even have running water there. Give me some evidence that this is working. It is not working. In the meantime, people in the 36th District are asking critical questions like, what about quality education? What about affordable, national, universal health care? Why don't we have it?
Yeah, pretty basic questions. Marcy Winograd, have you qualified for the primary?
I have qualified. It wasn't that difficult. You pay a $1,600 fee, you collect 40 signatures in the district, and you're on the ballot. So I am
signatures?
On the ballot. So June 6th,
that's
Democrats
great.
Will have a choice. And already we're seeing Democrats who are rescinding their endorsements of Jane Harman.
That's marvelous. Now, one of the questions, rehash a whole bunch of other candidates that we've had on the show. But one of the questions that I am always concerned about, I think all of us are concerned about with regard to challenges to Democratic incumbents is, are you concerned about damaging Jane Harman to the point where she can't stand up against a Republican candidate and essentially handing this House seat over to a Republican?
That's an excellent question, and I know that's a question that's on everyone's mind.
Well, it's the thing that the party puts out. You know, that's the party line officially.
Absolutely,
basically.
And we do need to take back Congress, and I agree. First of all, let me address this. This is a safe Democratic seat. There is about a 40,000 voter margin of Democrats to Republicans in this district, not to mention the fact that there are 60 to 70,000 declined states who typically vote Democratic, not to mention that this is a midterm election, which does not usually attract large numbers of Republicans, that the base of the Democratic Party will be energized to take back Congress and to get out to vote. So we expect that this will be a very safe seat for a Democrat. The question is, will it be a Bush Democrat who went along and was a cheerleader for the war on Iraq, even though she had intelligence that indicated there was no justification for the war, and somebody who sat as the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee and was briefed for over a year by Bush and Cheney on illegal wiretapping and said nothing, not one word, and then went public on Meet the Press to say the leak was deplorable? Is it going to be a Bush Democrat, Jane Harmon, or will it be a progressive? Marcy Winograd, me, president of Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, who says out of Iraq now, and also says let's restore our civil liberties, forget this Patriot Act, and also says let's redirect the money we are spending, so much of it on war and militarism, into education and health care.
Well said. The website, by the way, if folks who want to contribute or help out or volunteer or anything, Winograd, W-I-N-O-G-R-A-D, just spelled just like it sounds, Winograd for F-O-R, Congress.com is the website. Marcy, what did you do before you got into this race, and what led you to get into this race?
Very good question, Tom. Really, I was not planning on getting into this race. I think the Harmon campaign was very surprised, and I was surprised too, honestly, because although I am a grassroots activist, I'm not a party insider. I'm not a career politician invested in the status quo. What happened was, for a year I'd been trying to organize peace delegations to talk to Jane Harmon about her support of the Iraq War. Three times these delegations were canceled between 9 and 10 o'clock at night before the meeting was planned. Very frustrating.
Is this in district or in D.C.?
This is in the district, in the 36th Congressional District.
So she said that she would meet with you and then the night before said no?
She did not say she would meet with us. People on her campaign staff at her office said that they would meet with us. We weren't even expecting a meeting with her. Just somebody to represent her. Each time it was canceled. So this felt like we had absolutely no access. It was very frustrating. I said, you know what, we need to run somebody against this woman. She is not listening to her constituents, not even meeting with her constituents. And we talked to a couple of possibilities. They were not up for it because, you know, she has right now, I think, about $550,000 in her war chest. Who's going to go up against this? Finally, I saw her on Meet the Press. I saw her say the leak was deplorable. I sat down on the couch. I watched her. I said, my gosh, the leadership of the Democratic Party is ready to surrender the Constitution. No, I will not stand for this. I will run against her.
Yeah. And it's a marvelous story. Marcy Winograd, winogradforcongress.com. Marcy, what do you have to do between now and November? Well, first of all, when is the primary?
The primary is June 6th, so we're up against a two-month window, very short amount of time. We have to be very strategic how we spend our time. We need to be out in the public. We're going to be taking a truck starting tomorrow down the coast with huge Winograd, Win with Winograd banners, playing music, splicing in speeches from some great advocates of nonviolence, civil rights, and civil liberties, and go up and down the coast and meet people and take this campaign to the people. Because to tell you the truth, Tom, by and large, the leadership has failed us. The leadership in Congress has failed us. And when the leadership fails, the people must lead.
Yeah. Last week we interviewed Ned Lamont, who was taking on Joe Lieberman in a very similar race in Connecticut. And the challenges of going up against incumbency are mind-boggling. They're just absolutely mind-boggling. And for our listeners who might want to support you or help in what you're doing, what's the number one thing that they could do to help you?
Well, if you were to talk to my campaign manager, she would say money. You know, yeah. We need money. Winograd,
and that's and I am assuming at Winograd, F-O-R, Congress, people can contribute money to your...
And okay. If that is too long and cumbersome, it can just... be Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, for forcongress.com. That will work as well. You know, we want to get a number of mailers out so people are aware of our campaign. Money is very important, but equally important is people power, getting people on the ground, grassroots volunteers to walk precincts and to phone bank. That's tremendously important. And people who may have connections with the media, connections with great venues for fundraisers or for events, people who are bloggers, people have a multitude of talents, and we welcome everybody who wants to join this campaign.
Are you soliciting celebrity endorsements, and have you acquired any yet?
Well, celebrity endorsements, we have, you know, what I consider celebrity endorsements from the peace movement. Daniel Ellsberg has endorsed this candidacy. I worked on the Pentagon Papers trial years ago, and he gave us a resounding endorsement, as did Robert Greenwald, who directed and produced the documentary Walmart, The High Price of Low Cost.
Among others.
We also have on board Gore Vidal, the writer. He was at my kickoff. So was former California Assemblyman Tom Hayden and Mimi Kennedy, National Chair.
That's a great list. Marcy, I'm sorry we're out of time, but
right,
Marcy Winograd,
MarcyForCongress.com.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
In the desert, even in the starkest environment, you sometimes come across a flower. And what a joy it is to behold, all the more appreciated because it stands alone. That's how I felt when I saw Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin proudly standing against George W. Bush's secret, illegal, and unconstitutional program of spying on the American people. In the politically desolate environment of the U.S. Senate, where members blend together in shades of lifeless brown and bend so easily to the autocratic winds of the Bush-Cheney imperial presidency, it is a delight to see a flower of integrity. When he introduced his resolution to censure Bush, Feingold dared to speak the simple and honest truth. The president has violated the law. Congress must respond. He noted that, quote, the founders anticipated abuses of executive power by creating a balance of powers in the Constitution. We must meet a serious transgression by the president with a serious response. The American people look to us to take action. In our system of government, no one, not even the president, is above the law. Feingold was standing for the rule of law. Yet only two other Democrats have stood with him. The rest ran for the bushes. Republican senators were worse, fulminating against Feingold for actually trying to be what senators are supposed to be, a check and balance. Republican leader Bill Frist was especially despicable, charging that Feingold was giving comfort to terrorists by suggesting, quote, that there is in any way a lack of support for our commander-in-chief, who is leading us with a bold vision. Apparently, Frist is so blinded by the glare of executive power that he doesn't know that more than two-thirds of Americans and 72% of the troops in Iraq do not support Bush's bold vision. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's show a little support for the flower of the Senate. Say thanks to Russ Feingold by calling 202-224-5323.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. 1-800-511-MACS. Give them a call and say hi. The latest iPods, all things Macintosh, and Eco Wine, the organic wine company, 1-888-ECOWINE. 1-888-ECO-WINE. And some of the most extraordinarily delicious organic imported French wines. Richard Miller is with us with the Talk Radio News Service, and also his website, Miller with two R's, F.com. Hey, Richard.
How you doing, Tom?
I am just great. I understand you just got back from Iraq.
I did. Almost a month in bedding with a variety of units, and I'm back.
So what's the situation there?
Well, you've got three things to worry about in Iraq. Security, and security. Until they fix that problem, nothing will move.
Who's they?
They, in this case, is not going to be us. We've got no intention of fixing it. I'm not sure we ever did. I think we were caught blindsided by the insurgency. There's no news in that. But since then, we've been concerned with force protection, i.e. protecting U.S. forces, reducing casualties, trying to bring the Iraqi army and Iraqi police up to snuff. They are going to be the latter two groups, the Iraqi army and the police.
Now, Sadr's Shia group seems to be increasingly estranged from the more secular Shia group who are making up the government forces. And it seems to me, and I mean, I haven't been there, you have, but it's from over here, it seems to me that the Shia community itself is on the verge of an internal civil war. Am I missing, am I getting that right, or...
Yeah, you have it right. I'd avoid civil war, Tom, for this reason. And I'm just talking about semantics now, but they're important semantics. Because we've seen two civil wars of great merit in the last 15 years, Bosnia being one, and Afghanistan, and actually we'll make that three, Rwanda being the third. And all those civil wars basically ran body counts into the very high six figures, as you know.
Right.
They were also characterized by wide-scale military actions of a type that no group in Iran has the capability, in Iraq rather, has the capability to mount right now. No one has armor, no one has air assets, no one has artillery. Basically, it's small arms, tit for tat. Think Godfather writ large among, rather than five New York families, think four Iraqi families, Shia, Sunni, Kurds, and Turkmen.
But in each one of those families, there are factions, and that's my point about the Shia one. I mean, is that it seems that Sadr is he was always kind of going his own way. I mean, it was one of Sadr's men who killed Cindy Sheehan's son. You know, for irony of ironies.
Yes.
Back when George W. Bush first declared him that we were going to arrest him, and then Bush decided he wasn't going to arrest him. He was going to try and put him in the government. And now he's in the government, but now we don't have a government, but maybe we'll have a government. And now I'm reading in news reports coming out of the area that Sadr increasingly is running a militia that is coming into conflict with the official government militia, which is also Shia, and seems to be engaged in some kind of ethnic cleansing out of the Department of the Interior Ministry, but it's anti-Sadr as well.
Yeah, that's correct. By the way, I was through Sadr City, which was not named after him. It was named after another imam. But
I thought it was named after his father.
Yes, who was murdered by Saddam Hussein. And in Sadr City, the Sadr militia, the Mehdi army, is evident everywhere. They are the ones who are actually providing security.
Now, so ironically, one of the most notorious slums in Baghdad is now one of the safest places.
Well,
for the residents.
I would have said that would have been true up until a couple of weeks ago. But what's happened is that various anti-Sadr forces, and there are several of them, have done enormous damage with car bombs and vehicle-borne IED suicide bombers.
And isn't this principally what's coming out of the interior, the Ministry of the Interior?
Ministry of the Interior, I'd be more likely to blame, but one never knows, because when you talk about shadowy responsibility or accountability, Iraq probably leads the list.
Well, here's something
I guess
really...
the Sunnis.
Yeah, this is something that I found very strange. We're talking with Richard Miller. He just got back from Iraq. He's with Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, and also his website, Miller, with a double R at the end, F.com. Richard, when we had a problem in Central America,
right.
we were trying to take down Nicaragua.
Yes.
And our efforts in Nicaragua caused other countries to reactively move to the left economically and militarily,
right.
In as much as they were starting to form alliances or talking about forming alliances with the Soviet Union. And so John Negroponte went. We made him ambassador to El Salvador. And he had the nickname Death Squad John. He went down there, and within months of his showing up in El Salvador, all of a sudden, we were finding corpses all over, you know, I mean, just Death Squad started acting. We made him the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, and within weeks, Death Squad started acting. Have we created this thing?
In my opinion, no. You had an argument that we contributed to it in Nicaragua because there wasn't a pre-existing revenge culture down there.
Yeah.
But the problem is in the Middle East, you're talking about what most sociologists would describe as an honor culture. This kind of thing is embedded into the mentality there. And in fact, Tom, there are now posters in many U.S. headquarters, military bases throughout Iraq, reminding commanders that there is a thing known as blood money.
We got to take it. We got to stop it there, Richard. Thank you.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. Call right now. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Oric XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oric XL.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Newspaper Guild says it hasn't received the financial information it needs in an attempt to bid on 12 Knight Ridder newspapers being sold off by McClatchy, the company that acquired 32 daily newspapers for $4.5 billion. The Guild says competitors who originally bid on all 32 papers have information that parties interested in just the 12 papers have not yet received. Eight of the papers being bid on are represented by the Guild.
Students at hundreds of universities are kicking off a National Student Labor Week of Action in solidarity with workers. Eddie Morales is president of the U.S. Student Association.
We're going to be showing films, hosting rally, and actions targeting administrators. Students hope to help workers win concrete victories in their efforts to secure fair wages, benefits, and to form and join unions.
More and more, Morales says, corporations and corporate money are dominating universities. Students, Morales says, are awakening now to the struggles of workers and the need to join those struggles.
Since I've started to realize that the standards that they set of living for workers on their campuses directly affects their ability to get the most out of their college experience, and then let alone support an individual's wants for dignity and, you know, the ability to work in a climate that values their presence. And I think that is a philosophical argument that most students get behind.
The National Student Labor Week of Action is co-sponsored by Jobs with Justice, the U.S. Student Association, and a national network of community labor coalitions.
The Canadian Auto Workers leadership is pushing to pull the union support from that country's new Democratic Party. The CAW is Canada's largest private sector union, and the leadership is seeking to reaffirm a position of independent politics with no ties to one party. Part of the decision comes from the Ontario NDP kicking CAW President Buzz Hargrove out of the party because he advocated strategic voting. For example, in situations where it seemed the NDP had little chance of winning during January's election, he suggested support should be put behind Liberal candidates. Hargrove, who has been a member of the NDP for more than 40 years, says it's time for Canadian labor to hold all government accountable, no matter which party is in power.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And they look at you like they don't speak your language. And you're living at the bottom of a well. And you've swallowed all the awful, bloody secrets that you can't tell.
Well, it sounds like Karl Rove's song to me. Welcome back, my friends. Karl Rove said to be cooperating in the CIA leak inquiry. This from Raw Stories' Larissa Alexandrova. Karl Rove, Deputy White House Chief of Staff and Special Advisor to President George W. Bush, writes Larissa, has recently been providing information to Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald in the ongoing CIA leak investigation. Now, here's the bottom line of this. You will recall, about a year and a half ago, well, it was in 2003, actually, it was 2.5 years ago, Alberto Gonzalez, the White House lawyer, Alberto, then White House lawyer, now the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, but at the time he was the lawyer for George W. Bush. Gonzalez was informed by Patrick Fitzgerald that he wanted copies of all the White House internal email. Now, this was the result, apparently, of Rove, in order to save his own butt, pointing the finger in the direction of Scooter Libby and the vice president's office. And so Gonzalez got the word that the White House's emails all had to be turned over to the special prosecutor, but
inexplicably, and I remember when this story happened, I remember the time, inexplicably, he waited 12 hours to do anything about it, to even tell anybody to save their emails. And during that 12 hours, strangely enough, there was a, to use the word, to use a quote from Fitzgerald, in a January letter to Libby's defense team, Patrick Fitzgerald wrote, quote, "Some emails might be missing because the White House's archiving system had failed." Gee. Is it shades of Rosemary Wood, the 18-minute gap? Well, it turns out that there's a couple hundred emails that seem to have vanished, and they've gone. And 250 pages of missing emails, specifically. And the White House turns out has a real-time backup system. So everybody's got a computer, and it's on a server, and they send emails, and it goes through the server. But there's also a second server that's like the backup system, and in real time it's backing it up. And what happened was when Gonzalez said, hey, in 12 hours I'm going to tell you to save things, for those 12 hours, everybody in the White House, including Dick Cheney, apparently were aggressively deleting their emails. And so Fitzgerald said, let me see the emails, and the emails were handed over, and he was like, oh, there's nothing here. What happened? There's a big hole here. Well, according to the story by Larissa Alexandrova in today's Raw Story, Karl Rove, once again, to keep his butt out of jail, told Fitzgerald about the existence of this real-time backup system and said, you can actually recover those missing emails of the vice presidents. Now, why would Karl Rove point the finger at Dick Cheney? Well, once again, apparently in 2004, just before the 2004 election, or early on in the year in 2004, there were some trial balloons about somebody replacing Dick Cheney. And those trial balloons came out of Rove's office, which so angered Cheney that Cheney and Rove have essentially not been speaking since then. In fact, Rove has been invited 11 times to go on hunting trips with Cheney. And, no, I just made that part up. But they're not on good terms. And the last thing Rove would want to do is go on a hunting trip with Cheney. And so now Fitzgerald apparently has these 250 emails that had been missing from the office of Dick Cheney. And this may change the face of this treason case. You recall Treasongate? You know, who is it who outed the CIA officer? Who is it who committed treason in the United States?
And I don't know. We're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. Might be the guy who is not allowed to drink water whenever you're talking, George. So we'll see how this one plays out. Should be fascinating. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. And Patsy in Faircrest, Washington, on the line. Hey, Patsy, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Tom, you're always saying that the employers of illegal aliens, they should be fined $100 and 1 year in jail.
I didn't say $100, but, you know.
Fined and 1 year in jail. What do you do about corporations? How can you send a corporation to jail?
Well, you can't, but what you can do is one of two things. You can hold corporate officers, and for that matter, there's actually even precedent for holding corporate boards of directors responsible, including criminally responsible, and they can go to jail.
Oh, okay. That was my question. Thanks a bunch.
You're welcome. Or alternatively, you can dissolve the corporation. You can give the corporation a death sentence. Simply say this corporation no longer exists, or at least it no longer has the right to do business in this state. And just, you know, put an end to it. Jose in New York City. Hey, Jose, what's up?
Hey, yes. My question is this. Everybody's afraid of having a revolution in Iraq, and I think some of the best democracies ever formed in the world have been through revolution. I mean, if you're going to just go over there and occupy a country who first doesn't want you, and second doesn't really want to fight their own, so let them just have a revolution. Let them step up and stop killing American kids who don't need to be there. You could put them better off at the borders, protecting our own borders.
Well, to the extent that what you're suggesting is what Jack Murtha was suggesting, I agree with you. However, to characterize what's going on in Iraq right now as a revolution, I think might be a mistake. It's to some extent, they're revolting against our presence there. But there's something larger now apparently going on, and that is the possibility of a civil war. And a civil war and a revolution are very different things.
Right. I think eventually it's going to turn into a revolution, more or less, because what's going to happen is that the poor people of Iraq are going to have to coexist with the rich people of Iraq, and that's just going to diminish their existence as a whole.
Well, interestingly, there are pretty much, outside of the few politicians left in the green zone, there's pretty much no more rich people in Iraq. All the wealthy Iraqis have fled to Jordan or the United Arab Emirates or Kuwait. They have all fled the country. I mean, there's literally hundreds of thousands of Iraqi expats. And so what's left are the people who are too poor to flee the country, which is, you know, another tragedy and a little subtext that most Americans are unaware of.
Right. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. Good to hear from you, Jose. Thanks a lot for the call. Bonnie in Burkittstown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bonnie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Hey, I thought about the meaningfulness of work, but have you noticed how your Cato Institute and Ayn Rand guests always trivialize your statistics, and they don't even ask where you got them?
Well, I told him it was from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and he said it was out of date. Yeah, it was from May of last year. I don't have anything more recent than that. I don't think anybody does, but, you know.
I know. They say, I don't know where you got those statistics from. Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to be noticed. They all say that.
Yeah, well, they're, you know, and there's a certain point at which you almost don't need the statistics. You just kind of look around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Ronald Reagan's famous campaign slogan, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? You don't need a statistician. You know, as Bob Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to tell which way the wind's blowing.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, on to the real reason why I called. Mm-hmm. What gives anybody the right to make work a pejorative with the term menial? If it's work and it has to be done, then it's meaningful, and the people who do that work shouldn't be homeless or have to use food stamps. And I've even heard some arrogant comments about people who apply for those jobs, Americans, like they don't want to educate themselves and improve themselves. And so on one hand...
Well, that's implicit, in fact, in Bush's statements and Tom Friedman's statements that the solution to everything is education.
Yeah. And on one hand, these pigs want everyone to work, and on the other hand, they want to demean the people for wanting those jobs, and that's where the job growth is. So do you know of any religious tradition that allows people to treat work and the people who perform that work with such indignity?
Yes, Calvinism.
Calvinism?
Yeah. John Calvin was a Protestant preacher who came, I don't know if he came to the United States, but his movement started in England, and his movement came to the United States in the 1600s. And the epicenter of Calvinism, modern Calvinism now, is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But and I'd say modern Calvinists are not the old John Calvin Calvinists. Mm-hmm. But John Calvin's idea, which took hold in the 1600s, the 17th century, in the United States, was that a sign of God's blessing was wealth. And so if you wanted to know who God favored, you looked to the rich. And it was used as an excuse for, you know, economic domination of people. And it's not actually, it's a variation on the caste system. Hinduism has a very similar philosophy. You know, there are five castes in Hinduism, and the people at the very top, the Brahmin caste, I believe it's the Brahmin caste, the top caste, are considered the most blessed, and the untouchables at the very bottom are the least blessed. They're the ones who have the greatest number of incarnations that they have to work through in great pain in order to finally reach, you know, the Brahmin caste and then enlightenment. And so, yeah, there's a lot of religious traditions, actually, that support slavery.
It sounds more like an economic system rather than a religious.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And you'll find slavery in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. But do you know of any country that has all of its citizens born with the ability or inclination to be rocket scientists?
No.
No, I know. It just makes sense. Again, you don't have to ask the weatherman what the weather is.
There you go. Yeah, or which way the wind blows, is it?
Thanks.
Bonnie, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. It's, you know, it's interesting. It's where do we come up with these strange ideas that there are jobs that Americans won't do? I mean, come on, give me a break here. Pay a decent salary. There is no job that an American won't do. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
French authorities are hunting down pirate fishing boats from space. I'm Richard Hooks for Earthwatch Radio. French authorities are cracking down on illegal fishing by tracking down pirate fishing boats from space. They use satellites to spot the pirate vessels, and then they send patrol boats to intercept the illegal operations and enforce the law. The French authorities started the program 2 years ago to deal with operations that illegally took Patagonian toothfish from waters around a French territory in the southern Indian Ocean. The toothfish yields a big profit on the black market, and it's being depleted by illegal operations. French fishing boats were licensed to take 6,000 or 7,000 tons of toothfish from the territorial waters every year. According to some estimates, illegal fishing took 6 times more than that. The French government worked with a satellite company known as CLS. Antoine Monsignon works with CLS. He says land-based radar was not sufficient for law enforcement around the remote Kerguelen Islands.
You need a radar that can see, first of all, that can see at night, also through the clouds, and on a long range. And only satellite can do that.
Monsignon says the company relied on 2 different satellites. One was used by Canada to track icebergs. The other was used by the European Space Agency to monitor oil spills.
It very often happens that when you launch a satellite, you launch it for one given purpose, and then you discover later that it can be used for something else.
In this case, the strategy paid off immediately. In July of 2004, the satellites detected a vessel that was in French waters illegally. The Navy sent a patrol boat to track it down and fire a warning shot across its bow. The approach worked. Last year, the French government reported that the surveillance system has cut illegal fishing by 90%. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and it's true, especially when you're building. Terry Mosteller of Lumberton, Mississippi knows it for a fact. She called to report her General Steel building is still standing and looks as good as the day it was built, even after Hurricane Katrina destroyed or severely damaged nearly every other building in town. We salute those who were affected by the recent hurricanes as they rebuild and take pride in knowing that our buildings stand up to the ultimate test. When it comes to your building project with General Steel, you do get what you pay for.
General Steel is offering rebates right now up to $20,000. Call now for details. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. Call 24/7 for your free General Steel quote. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
We say we build democracy, but really build refineries and drill for our prosperity from oil in the ground. The earth just might be warming from the oil that would burn, but I'm a simple man and that's too difficult to learn. Forget about renewables like solar energy, 'cause oil made my pappy rich. It's good enough for me.
And welcome back, my friends. 9 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Yes, it's good enough for him. It's good enough for George. It's good enough for... I think it's time for a Walmart alert.
I hate Walmart. If you didn't hear the story, well, here's how it is. Big company sell the low cost, drive mom and pop out of business. Pretty soon all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate.
Indeed, one great big store, identical brand, Walmart Stores, Inc. is throwing its weight behind organic products, writes Marcus Cabell in the Associated Press, a move that experts say could have the lasting effect on environmental practices that Walmart has had on prices by forcing suppliers and competitors to keep up. So this is being spun as it's going to be good for environmental products because organic products are good for the environment, and Walmart's going to sell them, so there's going to be more demand for them. Interesting. I see this. Frankly, I think the amount of organic products sold is probably not going to change. Walmart tends not to so much change what we consume as simply change where we buy it. I see this as part of the trend as with banking. I mean, they got the whole banking industry absolutely terrified as part of the trend toward there just being one store left. One store, one network, one movie company, one radio station, one newspaper company. I mean, they'll all have lots of variety. But basically one corporation ruling everything. It's the conservative dream. Yeah. And very much not, I tell you, very much not what our founders had in mind. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. If you want to drop into our live chat room, go to TomHartmann.com. However you spell it, we'll get you there and click live chat. And Dick in Dayton, Ohio on the line. Hey, Dick, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Dick, I just love your show. Great. You're doing a great job. You know, I heard this was synonymous. I heard it last night. The environment and the pollution. You know, say the environment, we're controlled by, say, the elite, like corporate America. And the pollution, I think we contribute to, say, like in the Ohio River, the power plants and things that we can't control. That's something that I learned last night, Tom. It was great.
I miss your point, Dick.
Something about the environment that we're you know, we can't control what's going on. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I think that there's. We're fouling our own nest, and
we have
some say over that. So
yeah, you know, well, good to talk to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dick. Good to hear from you, Joe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. The other day, I passed over the bridge where my grandfather worked for 50 years. He was an Italian immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
He's long since passed away. He didn't get a pass. He didn't get a guest worker permit. He had to come to this country legally, and the same deal was with my father. And not that, you know, I'm anti-Mexican or anti-Hispanic, but
I got to tell you, let me just interrupt you here, Joe. When your father and grandfather came over, they faced the same thing my grandfather came over when he came over from Norway, and that was local discrimination against any particular ethnic group.
Exactly.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio made a movie, you know, Gangs in New York, I think it was called, about that kind of thing. There's nothing new about that, but a lot of that discrimination and a lot of that ethnic hatred came out of the fact that people saw the immigrants, and in this case, this was back when there were no controls on immigration, so they were legal immigrants, saw those immigrants as competitors for labor.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say one more thing, and then I'll get off the line here. If the illegals and the workers, the illegal workers, were to unionize and have to charge higher wages, the neocons would be out there opposing them and rounding them up and sending them back across the border.
You in a heartbeat.
Good work.
Here, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Good to hear from you. Yeah, in a heartbeat. Larry in Seattle. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. A couple of Tom delay alerts I posted on your message board.
Yeah, he got his handgun permit pulled.
Yep, that was the first one there. Both these are from Ross Story. The other one is reference to the Washington Post. Apparently, there's a top advisor to Tom DeLay received a bunch of money collected by the U.S. Family Network, which is a nonprofit that he organized. supposed to have been a grassroots organization, but
And his former staff director took $900,000 and paid for himself out of the $3 million that was raised, something
exactly.
like that?
Exactly, and he was claiming they wrote down revised expense entries where they crossed out a purchase of a $20,000 vase was relabeled office equipment. $62,000 purchase of a collection of Salvador Dali and Peter Max prints relabeled as office fixtures.
Well, if they can get a Salvador Dali print and a Peter Max print for only $2,000, they're doing pretty good.
No, that was $62,000.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Yeah, and they got a $100,000 donation from R.J. Reynolds, which $75,000 in 1998 went to radio ads that called for President Clinton's resignation, attacked Democrats. And then the National Republican Congressional Committee gave them a $500,000 check to finance additional radio ads and ended up having to pay the eighth highest fine in FEC history to settle allegations.
Yep.
That they were colluding with the USFN on those ads.
The wonderful world of Tom DeLay. Larry, you said it better than I could have.
Thank you
very much. Bye. Great to hear from you. I appreciate your calling us with that update. Although it's in my stack of stuff here. There's just so much in the news. We will get to more right after this at the top. Right after the news at the top of the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the radio support group of, by, and for we the people of the United States of America.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Teva.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies, so I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called him myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. A shocker in a Virginia courtroom this morning. Zacharias Moussaoui told a federal jury he was actually part of the 9/11 plot. He had earlier denied having any role on 9/11, but admitted knowing the World Trade Center towers were going to be targets. Today, he took the stand against the advice of his lawyers, and he said he and shoe bomber Richard Reed were supposed to hijack a fifth airplane and fly it into the White House. He also admitted lying to investigators before the attacks because he didn't want to tip them off. Moussaoui's statement on the White House attack stunned the Virginia courtroom. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the country is close to flunking out. He says the U.S. is faring poorly
in its effort to counter ideological support for terrorism, in part because the government does not communicate effectively. Rumsfeld made the remark in response to a question from a member of an audience at the Army War College, where he gave a speech. Rumsfeld said, "If I were grading, I would say we probably deserve a D or a D plus as a country as to how well we're doing in the battle of ideas that's taking place in the world today." The United Nations says the man who faced a death sentence in Afghanistan for converting from Islam to Christianity is now looking for asylum outside that country. A court yesterday announced it had dropped its case against Abdul Rahman. Muslim clerics say he violated Islamic law when he became a Christian and he should be killed, but a lot of Western leaders demanded that the case be dropped. A federal judge says New Orleans needs to go ahead with the mayoral election scheduled for less than a month from now, but the judge also acknowledged room for improvement in a process that's been challenged, the process of reaching voters displaced by Katrina. U.S. District Judge Ivan Lamel refused a request for a delay of the election from civil rights activists. They contend a failure to reach more of the city's evacuees, many of whom are black, amounts to a violation of voter rights. And thousands of California students walked out of class today, and crowds in Detroit marched toward downtown as immigrant supporters continued nearly a week of street protests against proposed immigration reforms. In Washington, about 100 demonstrators also protested. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, "Whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it." And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question. Whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right. You heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
Tired of waiting for insurance settlement money that's paid out little by little over years and years? Novation can help. Wouldn't it be great to get more of your money now?
I have settlement payments from a lawsuit. Most of my payments were years away.
I really needed my money now.
If you could use cash now, instead of waiting years to collect your insurance settlement money, you need to call Novation at 800-485-1923. That's 800-485-1923.
Novation got me the cash I needed when I needed it.
Call us toll free at 800-485-1923. That's 800-485-1923.
Novation delivered.
Tired of waiting? Make the call. 800-485-1923. Get your money when you need it. Novation Capital, an Encore Financial Services company. 800-485-1923.
Thanks, Novation Capital.
Novation got me the cash I needed when I needed it.
Thanks, Novation.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity, truth, and common sense on the radio for a change. You know, when I was a kid, and I guess I'm dating myself here because probably a lot of you listening don't have any recollection of anything like this. But when I was a kid, some newspapers, actually had labor sections. There would be the business newspaper in town, which was generally kind of Republican in its leaning, and there would be the labor newspaper in town, which was a little more Democratic in its leaning. And by and large, now that there's a handful of corporations that own virtually all the newspapers in the United States, at least the vast majority of newspaper readership in the United States is controlled by a small group of people who could probably fit in the studio easily. The labor papers have done gone away. So at least on the radio, we're trying to keep that tradition alive, and the Workers Independent News, which many of you hear on this program, and the Workers Independent News segment. Doug Cunningham is with us. He's an anchor and reporter with the Workers Independent News, laborradio.org, their website. Doug, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for the great work you guys are doing. What's the latest news, the latest labor news that I caught, you know, in the flying through the pages of the paper, although it's difficult to even find it these days, is this buyout deal that General Motors is trying to put together. Tell me about this.
It's a huge, unprecedented move on the part of General Motors and Delphi, and the whole aim here is to try to reach an agreement with a union that will head off a catastrophic strike against Delphi. Delphi is in bankruptcy. It's the largest U.S. auto parts maker. It was a subsidiary of General Motors, essentially, and it was spun off from GM in 1999. Now it's in trouble. It's filed bankruptcy, but GM has an obligation, a remaining obligation, to the workers that came over to Delphi from General Motors, essentially. So there's been an agreement between the UAW, Delphi, and GM to reach a buyout deal to offer to workers early retirement incentives, that sort of thing, to pay them lump sums in some cases, to sever ties with General Motors and Delphi in order to reduce the workforce at Delphi.
Now, is this, in addition to reducing the workforce, is this also a way of getting rid of pensions?
Well, in some cases, if a worker, for example, has 10 years of service, General Motors is offering a $140,000 lump sum, they will still get their pension that they've earned for 10 years. It won't amount to a whole lot because it's only based on 10 years service. They'll still get that. The pensions are still safe under this plan.
That's interesting. I had expected it to be worse than that.
Yeah, no. The UAW has been successful to some degree in negotiating this plan, but at the same time, one of the net effects of this plan, when it goes into place, will ultimately be that I think it will drive down the wages and benefits generally in manufacturing and in the auto industry.
Oh, sure.
Because at some point, Delphi then will be able to replace workers if it needs to at a much lower wage rate.
Well, not only that, all those workers are now in the workforce. They have auto industry skills, and they're not moving out of town tomorrow morning. I mean, they may ultimately move. So,
right.
The local wage. This country, Doug Cunningham, is in a downward spiral and has been since Ronald Reagan declared war on the American middle class. Is that it's something I say often? You consider that an accurate statement?
I think that it's an accurate statement to say that working families are in a downward spiral. That's for sure. You can point to a whole range of statistics and information to back that up. Working class, middle class family wages, for example, haven't kept up with inflation for the last 4 or 5 years. When you factor in inflation, they actually have declined a little bit. So they're not growing. They're not keeping pace with the high cost of health care. They're not keeping pace with other high costs of energy and things like that. So, yeah, in that sense, working families are going backwards. And it seems to coincide with the time when the overall percentage of unionized workers in this country is lower. And one thing I have to get in real quick about Delphi, too, Tom, is something that we're coming up on here on a deadline. March 30th is a deadline, and even though this buyout deal was announced, Delphi is still pressuring the UAW for sharply lower wages and benefits for workers who remain at Delphi. And if they don't get that, they could go to bankruptcy court to try to get rid of all the union contracts, and if they do that, that'll still trigger a strike. So General Motors, Delphi, UAW, they're not out of the woods yet on that issue.
This is a very touchy time. I'm curious, Doug Cunningham, laborradio.org, I'm curious what the position... Yeah, actually, frankly, I've heard several different positions from different people in organized labor, and I'm wondering, you know, what your take is on the overall position in organized labor, in the labor movement, about illegal immigration. This, you know, there's all these demonstrations and all this kind of thing, and we're hearing from some Democrats, oh, well, we should, we need guest worker programs, amnesties, blah, blah. We're hearing from George W. Bush, well, there's jobs that Americans won't do. My experience in the 54 years I've been on this planet is that there's no job that an American won't do if he's paid or she is paid well. You know, that as Alex Goldmark, our board op, just said a few minutes ago, if stockbrokers are only paid $5 an hour, you'd probably have to hire illegals to do stockbroker. I mean,
yeah, that's
right. Wage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm wondering, you know, the history of the progressive movement, and I'm talking the 19th century and early 20th century, the history of the progressive movement and the history of the early labor movement was an effort to limit the amount of labor that was available in the marketplace through strikes, through 40-hour weeks, through weekends off, through child labor laws. Most of these laws were not put into place because people thought it was the moral thing to do or the right thing to do, most labor leaders. It was because they knew that it was what was necessary to produce a middle class, which ultimately was a right and moral thing.
That's
but,
right.
You know, for example, the child labor laws were not about, hey, let's save our children. It was about, let's stop these kids from competing with 30-year-olds.
Well, yeah, and you know, within organized labor, I think there's a mixed take on illegal immigration. I mean, on the one hand, nobody wants to penalize a worker for wanting a better life for his family and for him, and to come over to wherever the job might be to be able to do that job. So we understand that. But at the same time, employers, companies are exploiting illegal immigrant workers, undocumented workers, and that has the effect in many cases of driving wages down, and that's not good for organized labor.
Well, it's not even a matter of exploiting them. I mean, there's a simple thing of supply and demand. We have right now in the United States, roughly, according to Bureau of Labor Department statistics, BLS statistics, around 8 million officially unemployed American workers.
Mm-hmm.
We have another 4.8 million who are working part-time because they can't find full-time work.
Right.
And we have 1.4 million who are called discouraged workers, which, you know, they're not counted in the numbers because they've given up working. So you add those together, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, about 15 million people in the United States who want to work, who can't find a job, don't have a job. At the same time, there's somewhere between 10 and 20, most likely around 15 million illegal immigrants in the United States.
Seems
to me that if we were tomorrow to say any employer that hires an illegal immigrant will go to prison, will go to jail, or any corporation that is caught having illegal immigrants on the premises will have their right to be a corporation dissolved and their assets sold, then within a week you would have probably something close to 10 or 11 million people standing on the Mexican border trying to get south because there's no work here. And you would have wages in the United States start skyrocketing because suddenly unemployment wouldn't be at a real level of around 8.5% at this, you know, jury-rigged level of 4-point-something%. Am I wrong?
No, I think that's accurate, and I think that's one of the key issues here. And when it comes
then
to
why aren't the Democrats saying this, Doug?
It's a political thing, Tom. Obviously, I mean, it's politics. There are a huge number of immigrants.
But they're afraid of people who can't vote.
Well, there are people in this country, obviously, who are legal, who sympathize with that cause. I mean, you know, and I got to say this too, Tom. Within the labor movement, a lot of immigrants in places like Los Angeles and Las Vegas have given a lot of new fiery energy to the labor movement. They have joined unions. They're joining unions.
You're talking illegal immigrants?
Well, in some cases, I don't think that you would have exposed illegal immigrants joining unions. I think it's mostly immigrants newly arrived. But
there's a huge difference. I mean, there's a world of difference between a legal immigrant and an illegal immigrant.
There is a world of difference, and I don't accept the label of racist that's often put on.
No, this has got nothing to do with race. This has to do with the fact that countries regulate immigration so that they can regulate their workforce. That's the reason why they do it, so they can regulate the supply versus demand of work of labor, so that they can maintain a middle class.
And the
cons have been shoving all these illegal immigrants into this country, or inviting them in. And in order to drive down the cost of labor, it's part of the break the union movement, in my mind.
Well, it certainly does have that effect, I think. I think it really does have that effect. And we need a solution that that protects labor and honors and rewards work.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that solution is fairly simple. And even if a few conservatives may be embracing it, and that is to say, it's against the law to hire people who are here illegally.
That's right. And there's nothing wrong with people coming legally.
We want to encourage that.
And
we want to define the numbers so that it can be done in a way that maintains a strong middle class in America.
That's right. Defending the middle class, that's what it should all be about.
There you go. Doug Cunningham, laborradio.org. Thanks, Doug.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
In the desert, even in the starkest environment, you sometimes come across a flower. And what a joy it is to behold, all the more appreciated because it stands alone. That's how I felt when I saw Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin proudly standing against George W. Bush's secret, illegal, and unconstitutional program of spying on the American people. In the politically desolate environment of the U.S. Senate, where members blend together in shades of lifeless brown and bend so easily to the autocratic winds of the Bush-Cheney imperial presidency, it is a delight to see a flower of integrity. When he introduced his resolution to censure Bush, Feingold dared to speak the simple and honest truth. The president has violated the law. Congress must respond. He noted that, quote, the founders anticipated abuses of executive power by creating a balance of powers in the Constitution. We must meet a serious transgression by the president with a serious response. The American people look to us to take action. In our system of government, no one, not even the president, is above the law. Feingold was standing for the rule of law. Yet only two other Democrats have stood with him. The rest ran for the bushes. Republican senators were worse, fulminating against Feingold for actually trying to be what senators are supposed to be, a check and balance. Republican leader Bill Frist was especially despicable, charging that Feingold was giving comfort to terrorists by suggesting, quote, that there is in any way a lack of support for our commander-in-chief who is leading us with a bold vision. Apparently, Frist is so blinded by the glare of executive power that he doesn't know that more than two-thirds of Americans and 72% of the troops in Iraq do not support Bush's bold vision. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's show a little support for the flower of the Senate. Say thanks to Russ Feingold by calling 202-224-5323.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. support your local library, and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Now George Bush, he is the man. He landed in Afghanistan. We'll get Osama was his crack, and now we're stranded in Iraq. He told old Rumsfeld on the green, now you're the best I've ever seen. Just heed my words and you'll go far and help me win my daddy's war.
There you go. Welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program where despair is not an option. Get active, my friends. Jeff in Sacramento, California, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. I'm great, in fact. I'll get better. What's up?
Well, on your proposal to punish the employers and not deport the illegals will not work, and especially not in California. The reason is because the Democratic legislature has been cultivating the illegals here in California to hopefully someday vote Democrat. And so what they'll do is if they can't work, then that legislature will just increase the amount of benefits that they will give them, like the welfare. I mean, right now California is paying about $12 billion a year to pay for benefits for the illegals, including welfare, education, and health.
On the other hand, the odds are that it's getting more than $12 billion worth of cheap The difference between what labor should cost and what it does cost in California is probably more than $12 billion. In other words, it's saving $12 billion by having cheap labor. I'm not defending that.
I'm
saying that that's the calculus these guys are doing.
No, and I agree with you. However, by not deporting, it's not going to help their situation because they would just stay in here getting benefits from taxpayers' money. It has to be where they have to leave California and provide the area for union workers to then be able to take over and maybe get better pay. But as long as they're here, even if they don't work, we're still going to have to pay for it, because even if we get increased union pays, taxes are going to have to increase to pay for the additional costs that Californians have to pay to keep the illegals here. I mean,
yeah, and this
and
is not a count.
The Democratic legislature here in California has been doing this for years, providing this kind of thing, so that hopefully someday these illegals will be
right. Pandering to them.
Both.
Yeah, this isn't limited to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, Jeff. This is that's the tragedy of it. And it's one of the things that on the Democratic side is showing the difference between traditional liberal or progressive Democrats on the one hand, who actually are or certainly should be opposed to illegal immigration, and the corporate Democrats who are saying, well, you know, we don't like that there's penalties or teeth in this law, like Hillary Clinton, for example, saying we don't, you know, it's wrong that the bill have a provision in it that says that if a church helps somebody out, they can go to jail. I agree with Hillary Clinton on that. But at the same time, let's have a guest worker program. And, you know, yeah, it helps the corporations.
Well, hopefully if they come through with this bill, and then it makes it difficult for them to both come in and also make them difficult for them to stay here without a job. But definitely some law that would definitely say you have to leave.
Yeah.
Then that way it will create a situation where the unionized workers here in California could realistically say, hey, we're okay.
That's right.
We'd get better pay.
No, you're absolutely right, Jeff. If the illegal immigrants in the United States, and it's not just California, this is every state of the union now, if illegal immigrants left, the price of labor would start going up dramatically. And
yes,
as a consequence of that, you would see the return of the American middle class. Jeff, thank you for the call, and thank you for your comment and pointing that out. Patricia, also in Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Patricia.
Yes, hi. Tom, three quick points I wanted to make. First of all, my husband is a commercial plumber, and he's had these experiences. You know, we talk about jobs that Americans don't want. And he said many times he's worked in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. He's caught contractors with illegals doing jobs like framers, mm-hmm. pipe fitters, you know, things that my husband would do.
Right.
And so my husband's boss, who's, you know, a very small business and only has three employees, has to compete when he bids for a job with the cost that these other contractors are bidding for these same jobs because they have cheap labor.
And it's not fair. It's not fair to the small business person. It's not fair to the American laborer.
Absolutely. And the other two quick comments I wanted to make is this has to do with the European Union. I lived in Italy for a while, and I have a brother who still lives there. He's a civil engineer. And I don't know if you remember, Tom, the EU several years ago, or maybe longer than that, opened up all immigration
mm-hmm.
in Europe.
Yeah.
And
to the former Eastern European countries. Yeah,
yes.
they have the exact same problem we have now. You've got Albanians in France and Armenians in Germany or whatever. You know, they're having the same problem now there that we're having here, and they're rethinking everything.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. He said, you know, sometimes from Eastern Europe you get extremely educated people, but they're willing mm-hmm. to make, say, $5,000 or $10,000 a year as an engineer, and so now my brother has to compete with these people.
That's right. That's right.
There's that problem. Then the other thing I wanted to mention, you know how you say, you know, like picking grapes or jobs that, oh, God, Americans don't want? Well, you know, in Italy, the wine industry used to be, you know, it's always been the largest industry there, and picking grapes has always been, you know, common. Okay, if it's a family-owned business, of course the family does it, but if it's private, you know, you've had people paid decent wages.
That was a high-status job.
Exactly. It was a job.
And it could be in the United States, too. And a bottle of wine might cost a dollar more. I think we can handle it if we're all making 20% more in our paychecks.
Absolutely.
Patricia, thank you very much for the call.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for listening to us there in Sacramento. That's the ultimate reality in all this stuff. 27 minutes past the hour.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. Call right now. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies, so I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Newspaper Guild says it hasn't received the financial information it needs in an attempt to bid on 12 Knight Ridder newspapers being sold off by McClatchy, the company that acquired 32 daily newspapers for $4.5 billion. The Guild says competitors who originally bid on all 32 papers have information that parties interested in just the 12 papers have not yet received. Eight of the papers being bid on are represented by the Guild.
Students at hundreds of universities are kicking off a National Student Labor Week of Action in solidarity with workers. Eddie Morales is president of the U.S. Student Association.
We're going to be showing films, hosting rally, and actions targeting administrators. Students hope to help workers win concrete victories in their efforts to secure fair wages, benefits, and to form and join unions.
More and more, Morales says, corporations and corporate money are dominating universities. Students, Morales says, are awakening now to the struggles of workers and the need to join those struggles.
Students have started to realize that the standards that they set of living for workers on their campuses directly affects their ability to get the most out of their college experience, and then let alone support an individual's wants for dignity and, you know, the ability to work in a climate that values their presence. And I think that is, you know, a philosophical argument that most students get behind.
The National Student Labor Week of Action is co-sponsored by Jobs with Justice, the U.S. Student Association, and a national network of community labor coalitions.
The Canadian auto workers' leadership is pushing to pull the union support from that country's new Democratic Party. The CAW is Canada's largest private sector union, and the leadership is seeking to reaffirm a position of independent politics with no ties to one party. Part of the decision comes from the Ontario NDP kicking CAW President Buzz Hargrove out of the party because he advocated strategic voting. For example, in situations where it seemed the NDP had little chance of winning during January's election, he suggested support should be put behind Liberal candidates. Hargrove, who has been a member of the NDP for more than 40 years, says it's time for Canadian labor to hold all government accountable, no matter which party is in power.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you know why you get wrinkles? Did you know that you can finally do something about it? At home, you get wrinkles because your skin loses collagen. Now you can help replenish lost collagen with Hydroderm. Hydroderm's fast-acting wrinkle-reducing serum actually delivers full, intact collagen molecules directly to the skin. To try it free, call 1-800-440-3676. When you were young, collagen made your skin feel smooth and firm. As you aged, you lost collagen and you developed wrinkles. Now you don't have to get injections to help restore your youth. Hydroderm feels light and silky, but it's also powerful. With Hydroderm, you can enjoy the stunning and more youthful-looking skin that you deserve. For a limited time, get your free trial of Hydroderm by calling 1-800-440-3676. A free trial just for calling. To try Hydroderm, call 1-800-440-3676. That's 1-800-440-3676. Call now before this free trial offer expires. 1-800-440-3676.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here.
Welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. That's me. A place where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. The program that is fair and slightly unbalanced. Speaking of unbalanced and maladjusted, one of our listeners, actually a member of our chat room, Dolphin at tuna.net there, it's shared a little audio clip with me I wanted to share with you very quickly. This is Martin Luther King.
Modern psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. It is the ringing cry of modern child psychology, maladjusted. Now, of course, we all want to live the well-adjusted life in order to avoid neurotic and schizophrenic personalities. But as I move toward my conclusion, I would like to say to you today, in a very honest manner, that there are some things in our society and some things in our world for which I'm proud to be maladjusted. And I call upon all men of goodwill to be maladjusted to these things until the good society is realized. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to racial segregation and discrimination. I never intend to adjust myself to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few, leave millions of God's children smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society.
Martin Luther King on being a little off the norm. God bless him. Vanessa Cirelli is with us, the assistant editor of Common Dreams, and talking about standing up for what's right, even when it's not what's in the mainstream. CommonDreams.org, one of the finest non-mainstream news sources out there, one of the best progressive websites out. Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Great to have you with us.
Thanks.
This is our best of the rest of the news segment here today. What is the best of the rest of the news? What's happening?
Well, the best of the rest of the news is kind of revolves around water, in my opinion, this last week. This week we're on the heels of the Fourth World Water Forum, which began March 16th in Mexico, and it ended on International Water Day, the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened was the World Water Forum, which is billed as a forum to discuss how to guarantee universal access to clean water, sustainable management of water resources. However, it's sponsored by Coke, and Pepsi and Nestle and among other big businesses. 148 countries attended, 300 representatives of businesses, government ministries, and financial institutions also attended. And it was held at the convention center of a private bank.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, naturally this is sort of a ripe situation for activists and those of us who feel that justice should be done.
Or at least that water is part of, is one of those things that's so essential to human life, all life really, that it should be part of the commons and the common goods rather than something that's privatized.
Right. And for a lot of us, I mean, that kind of goes without saying. However... You know, when you're talking about, big business and that sort of thing, it becomes a little messy. In any case, there were a lot of people thinking a lot like us, and that there were massive street protests, 4,000 people. Some activists attended the forum. They tried to anyway, but the registration fees are really, really high, around $600.
Mm-hmm.
So activists formed their alternative to the World Water Forum, which is the International Forum in Defense of Water, and it ran, in correlation with the World Water Forum, the 17th to the 19th. And unfortunately, these two bodies never really got to have a dialogue together, which is, I think, what really needed to happen, but in any case, at least it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, really, the whole reason that, this even exists is that 1 in 5 people on the planet don't have access to potable water. 2.5% of the water on the earth is fresh water, only 2.5%. And between 6 and 10,000 people a day die from diseases associated with poor water quality and access to the water and what have you. So what happens is you have the age-old conflict of private versus public and who, if anyone, should hold ownership of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in 2002, the UN devised it's a General Comment 15. It's called On the Right to Water, and it says that basically farmers, people, et cetera, must have access to clean water for their crops, for drinking, to live, and that the children shouldn't have to drop out of school because they have to fetch water or that the schools don't have water. But unfortunately, the comment was non-binding, and it was pretty voluntary among the members of the UN. So failing public water systems end up forcing populations into what ends up being really costly bottled water, which is really a form of very stealth privatization of water. It's a way of controlling it. So it sort of puts a money-making Band-Aid on the problem and negates the solution.
Has anything, Vanessa, has anything come out of this beyond some increased awareness or consciousness on the part of people? I'm assuming that the privatization industry, I mean, we're talking some huge corporations here, Suez, for example.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Bechtel is involved in this. It's here in the United States. There's this is an industry, frankly, I think that water is very shortly going to be more vital and more, there's going to be more conflict around it than there is around oil right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely, I would completely agree with you. Yeah, and so really what's come of it, that was actually what I was getting to, is that the World Water Forum, you know, they say that they looked at many ways to solve the water problem, but their final declaration was really watered down, so to speak, didn't include that access to water is a basic human right, even though it was signed by pretty much everyone who attended. Bolivia, Cuba, and Venezuela stated in an appendix that they did see water as a human right. So I guess they're trying to save themselves there. But, you know, activists are definitely worried. You know, this final declaration is sort of a clear indication that the organizers of the World Water Forum are only interested in turning water management into a business opportunity, you know?
Oh, sure. And you wonder how many communities, how many nations are going to have the Bolivia experience before they get it.
Right,
And the fact of the matter is probably 99.5% of all the people on Earth have no idea what the Bolivia experience is.
Right, absolutely. India, for that matter, where, you know, I think we talked back in December about Coca-Cola mining water.
That's right.
Now,
go ahead. You wanted to wrap this topic up. I have a question for you.
Yeah. What's that?
Right now, there's demonstrations going on again in Los Angeles. They're happening all over the United States about labor. I wrote a piece for Common Dreams a while ago about this. I don't hear a lot of progressive voices on this, and I think perhaps it's a statement that people have forgotten the history of the progressive movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the progressive movement, the labor movements, really started in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, in opposition to immigration in large part.
Right.
And that the child labor laws, for example, were attempts to limit labor in the workforce.
Right.
The 40-hour work week was an attempt to limit labor in the workforce because people back then, progressives back then, understood supply and demand. They understood that if you have a lot of labor, the price of labor goes down. And if you want to have a decent middle class, you've got to get control of labor. I mean, this is what the guilds of Europe were all about in the Middle Ages.
Right.
And I don't get it why there are progressives and Democrats out there who are saying, we should we should simply be compassionate and legalize millions of illegal aliens in the United States right now, when what that's going to do is it's going to add to the dysfunction in Mexico and the other sending countries, because we're simply facilitating that. You know, it's like helping an abusive spouse or an alcoholic or something.
Enabling, absolutely.
Yeah, enabling, exactly. And it's going to continue to drive down the price of labor in the United States. How come progressives don't get this and Democratic politicians don't? And I'm wondering, what kind of news stories are you getting? What kind of feedback are you hearing from people?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, in terms of feedback, I think we're definitely in support, of the labor movement. But I think in terms of, going back to even this whole, the World Water Forum, I mean, it all starts with basic labor, from the people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think the future, of the right to, whether it's water or, proper wages or what have you, it all comes from citizen action. You know, it needs to become a movement. And I don't know why that's not happening. I'm not sure. Wasn't it John Stewart who said, that he's amazed by the profound patience of the American people? I'm not really sure.
Well, is it the patience or is it that they're beaten down? I mean, is it...
Right.
They're one of the who was it? Tom Paine. They had this argument with Sir Edmund Burke about this back in the 1780s, 1790s. There were laws in England that were maximum maximum wage laws. You couldn't pay over a certain amount. They didn't have minimum wage laws, but they had maximum wage laws.
Mm-hmm.
And Payne's comment to Burke was that the reason that they had these was because they knew that if people were paid more than that, then they would have enough free time that they could become politically active.
Right, right.
And what we have is the right. You know, the effect of that in the United States.
Well, and there's all, yeah, I mean, that vein, you know, you can take that anywhere, everything from, like, you know, having, basically, the shift from, remember when there used to be customer service?
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes beyond that. I mean, it's like kids graduating from college with 2 years worth of debt.
Sure.
I mean, what are they going to do? Get politically active and risk the job that they need to pay it off? It's we're increasingly a nation of bonded indentured.
Indebtedness, yeah.
There you go, yeah. Vanessa Cirelli, commondreams.org, the website. Vanessa, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
45 minutes past the hour.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a five-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
French authorities are hunting down pirate fishing boats from space. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. French authorities are cracking down on illegal fishing by tracking down pirate fishing boats from space. They use satellites to spot the pirate vessels, and then they send patrol boats to intercept the illegal operations and enforce the law. The French authorities started the program 2 years ago to deal with operations that illegally took Patagonian toothfish from waters around a French territory in the southern Indian Ocean. The toothfish yields a big profit on the black market, and it's being depleted by illegal operations. French fishing boats were licensed to take 6,000 or 7,000 tons of toothfish from the territorial waters every year. According to some estimates, illegal fishing took 6 times more than that. The French government worked with a satellite company known as CLS. Antoine Monsignon works with CLS. He says land-based radar was not sufficient for law enforcement around the remote Kerguelen Islands.
You need a radar that can see, first of all, that can see at night, also through the clouds, and on a long range, and only satellite can do that.
Monsignon says the company relied on 2 different satellites. One was used by Canada to track icebergs. The other was used by the European Space Agency to monitor oil spills.
It very often happens that when you launch a satellite, you launch it for one given purpose, and then you discover later that it can be used for something else.
In this case, the strategy paid off immediately. In July of 2004, the satellites detected a vessel that was in French waters illegally. The Navy sent a patrol boat to track it down and fire a warning shot across its bow. The approach worked. Last year, the French government reported that the surveillance system has cut illegal fishing by 90%. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
If you're considering a loan or bankruptcy to get out of debt, it's time for you to stop and think about how your decision will affect your finances and your credit rating. Before you do anything, talk to the experts at Trinity First. They'll provide you with a free debt analysis and a proven plan to get you out of debt.
We owe thousands in credit card debt. Those past due notices were piling up, and the collection calls were getting ugly.
Trinity looked at our situation and put us on a plan.
We started saving money, and we stopped dodging phone calls.
Trinity gave us one monthly payment we could handle.
They reduced our interest, so over time, we saved thousands.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity.
We did. Now we're debt-free for keeps.
Trinity!
Call the experts at Trinity for your free debt analysis at 800-936-7649. That's 800-936-7649. Call now, 800-936-7649.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
There's a warmth in the night, and the moon turns the tide. When the stars take their ride, she'll be leaving. Where she goes, I don't know. She won't tell me what it is that makes her act like this.
And welcome back, my friends. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Is that Tom Rush? Don't know. No. Yeah. It's good music. Anyhow, nice bumper music. 9.5 minutes before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Welcome back to our show. 1-866-440-8466. Our telephone number. Eric in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, Eric. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better, Eric.
Good. No, I just a couple of points was. You know, on one hand, the Bush administration keeps telling us that we're going to send all this production overseas and Americans will just become service industry and everything will all work out. But now they're telling us that all these service industry jobs Americans won't do.
Right.
So now we're now what do we, the rest of us do?
So let's see. It started out we were building things in factories, and then we decided, well, those are blue-collar jobs. We really need to educate people and not get their hands dirty. And so we educated people, and everybody went to college. And then we said, well, there's a whole bunch of educated people over in India. They'll do those jobs cheaper. So our engineers and even, you know, radiologists now are in India. And so then they said, well, now we have to serve each other. So being a cook or a waiter or something like that, that's the big new industry. Get trained for that, the hospitality industry. And, nobody really wants to do that work. So we'll just bring in people from Central and South America. And, yeah, good question, Eric. I don't know.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Have a good day.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's you raised – this is the $64,000 question. I mean, you listen to the logic of these guys. And what surprises me is that there are Democrats out there who are taking this position. And it just – the only thing I can come up with is you know, what one of our callers pointed out earlier, is that they're just sucking up to what they hope to be potential constituents in an election year, which is the most tragic of all the reasons, I think, for going along with something that ultimately is not good for the United States of America. Sean in Sacramento. Hey, Sean.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to chime in that I fully agree with you. I really think that if we keep on this path, it's going to undermine the middle class not only here but everywhere else. And, you know, this can have a chain reaction where, you know, I think that's ultimately what the corporate interests really want, is sort of a grab for power. They're running things, and then the rest of the people just work all the time for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's, you know, NAFTA, GATT, and WTO, what they're all about is surrendering national sovereignty to international corporate sovereignty.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I really think that overall you're starting to see it in other countries, too, where they're having immigration problems, where industries are trying to loosen.
Look at what's going on in France right now.
Yeah, exactly. And anyhow, I just wanted to let you know that, hey, you're not alone in your thoughts.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to us there on KSAC. I appreciate it. Janice in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WPTT. Hey, Janice.
Hi. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better.
Yeah,
what's up?
Me too. I just wanted to say that you were talking about how other countries have, like, a formula for their, you know, allowing people in for immigrating.
Yeah.
Well, we recently applied to Canada, and they have a point system. So it's you know, you're absolutely right, and I understand why they do that.
We have a system like that here in the United States, too, Janice.
Do we?
Oh, yeah. I have a friend who's a Brit. He's lived in England his whole life. He was born in England, and he and his family want to move here. And this guy is a multimillionaire. And in order to move here to the United States and get a green card or whatever kind of card he's trying to get, he is investing about $500,000 in a business. He's got to hire, he's got to employ five people. He's got to buy a home. I mean, there's all these things that he has to do in order to get on a fast track to U.S. citizenship. And even at that, it's going to take him 4 years to become a citizen.
Oh, my goodness, because it's going to take us, they said, by the time we put our papers in, it's 14 to 18 months before they, you know, then they give you the papers to get in.
Right. That's just to get in. And then you got another few years for citizenship. It's the same thing here in the United States. Unless you happen to come across the border from Mexico and you're willing to work at Taco Bell.
Well, I agree with you on the immigration issue.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Janice. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. Armin in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Armin.
The whole problem here is the people that make the laws don't feel our pain. Because most of them in Congress are millionaires or getting to be millionaires and heading on billionaire status. When you have people like that making the decisions, you know, human nature being what it is, they're going to cover their own self, which they do with health care, pensions, and everything else. They're not going to feel our urgency or stress or struggles. It's just not going to happen. How long are we going to sit back and let these corporate thugs like Bush? You know what else he's doing, too? He knows he's the oil man, and we're getting our oil right now from Mexico, and Mexico's blackmailing him and saying, you better take, the ruling families of Mexico are saying, if you don't take the people we've squeezed economically to the bone, we're going to shut off your oil.
I don't think they have to blackmail him, Armin. I think that he's looking around going, hey, this is helping all my corporate buddies make, you know, $500 million a year because they pay their laborers less, they pay their CEOs more. He's talking to his base. Armin, I'm going to be in Sarasota the end of April.
So okay, good. I want to look you up when you're here, but I want to say one other thing first, quick. Another thing, this is a big sham. I guarantee you that Marvin Bush, Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, and the whole Bush crime family are setting up these new corporations where they're going to come in and they're going to sector wholesale out what's left of the middle class, and they're going to corporatize it, bring these workers in and make them indentured and strip out what's left of the middle class.
I'm saying, Armin, they already have.
Well, they've effectively done it, but they even want more power and even more leverage over what's left of the middle class in this country, and all these public workers that are sitting on their buses don't support the manufacturing base that's being wholesaled out of this country.
No, Armin, it's absolutely time for Americans to wake up, and Americans to wake up fast. Hey, coming up on the next Tom Hartman program, don't miss my debate with conservative Ian Osorio. Should workers take the hit if their employer has a Ken Lay-style CEO? That and more right here on the Tom Hartman program in the Democracy Zone. Remember, my friends, democracy activism begin with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the